In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Among the most inspiring words of the entire gospel, of course this is from the Galatians, but it is the gospel. Because it is the good news for us. But it contains some important points that we should understand. I am crucified with Christ. The cross is an instrument of execution. It's to kill. So if we're crucified with Christ, what has died? Immediately he says, after saying, I am crucified with Christ, that I live. But not I, but Christ liveth in me. So something died on the cross, and something came away from the cross alive, according to St. Paul, according to the gospel. What died on the cross? Well, one man died on the cross, Jesus Christ. But what else died on the cross? What died on the cross was the hold of sin over us. So that we can live unto Christ. Before, it was not possible to become completely holy. There were very holy men and women of the Old Testament times. But they only saw, as it were, through a glass darkly. They did not see Christ. Because he had not come yet. Well, they saw him in their mind's eye. They knew of him. They prophesied of him. But the complete change that could overtake a man when he believes in Jesus Christ with his whole heart and whole soul and whole mind and follows him could not occur in them. But it can occur in us because there was something that died on the cross. Death's hold over us. And what is death? Death is the consequence of sin. Now, sin to a Jew was breaking the law. And the apostle, just before he says these words, says that by the works of the law, no man can be justified, that we're not subject to the law. Because for the Jew, it was, if you don't do these things, you'll be saved. Or if you do these things, you'll be saved. But they were very much a kind of formality. The Lord showed what the law really meant in his Sermon on the Mount. When he spoke of, for instance, the law says not to commit adultery. But he said that even if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you have already committed adultery. The law says not to murder, and yet even if you say to your brother, you fool, you've already committed murder. Or he said, really, you're guilty of hellfire. The inference is that you commit murder. Anger is murder. Jealousy is murder. Lust in your heart is adultery. Coveting things is theft. What is in the heart, the Lord sees, and that is what he judges us by. To the Jew, it was the works of the law. To the Christian, it is, nevertheless, not I, but Christ. Because that sinful nature was crucified on the cross. The Lord came to make us capable of life. That's what he accomplished. Not just on the cross, but in his entire life. Because if he only gave us the capability, but did not teach us, then we would not know. We would not have an ability to do it. Because just having the ability without a teacher, how can you learn? We see this in children. Everyone has the capacity to grow up, to be a good, productive, happy, honest adults. But if their parents and their grandparents and the family around them. Don't teach them what is right and wrong. Very often, they turn out in a bad way. They have the capacity to be good. All of us do. But if we're not taught, then how can we know? Of course, people can be taught and not follow. That is why it is so important for us to emblazon this verse that I read at the beginning of the homily on our hearts. The Jews would put things on their forehead. Let's put this on our hearts. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And let us also, with this, add that if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. That life that is lost is the one that is crucified on the cross. There must be death in us in order for there to be life. Death of our sins. Death of our passions. Death of our weird way of looking at things. Death at how we see things in a way that's not true because of our passions. We must see things according to the reality of them. And along with these two verses that we should emblazon on our hearts and follow in every moment, that they should be before us in everything we do. Let us add this. To be honest with you, I find this to be the most powerful of every verse so far that we've read today. Because it just makes it really simple. And it makes it so practical. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What can we give? There are two answers to this question. First of all, you can't give anything that is worth your soul. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve what the God-man has done for us in his life and on the cross. So we can't give enough. And we must understand this. That his salvation that he's giving us, or our salvation that he's giving to us, is a free gift. An undeserved gift. But just because something is undeserved, doesn't mean that we should not and must not react to it. Because this gift is for us to be changed. If we do not change, we are like the one who went into the wedding hall and he took off his wedding garment. And he didn't live a righteous life. And at the end of the age, the Master, our Lord, saw him and said, "Who are you? I don't recognize you." The other answer is we must give everything. The Lord said, "Give me your heart." You've got to give everything. And everything's an exchange. Everything in this life that we do is an exchange. You can think of it like giving money for a product. Because the Bible talks of it like that. We must be a wise trader. St. Andrew, in his canon, speaks about being a wise trader. We must trade. Everything we do is a transaction. Either we love or we hate. Either we go according to the way of the gospel or we do not. Someone slanders us. Now we can choose. Do we want to slander them back? Do we want to feel anger in our hearts? Or do we want to love them, pray for them, forgive them? That's an exchange. Because if you have anger in your heart, then your heart is full of poison. But if you love, then you have life. Every single thing we do, every interaction we do, is an exchange. Whatever we choose is an exchange for our soul. Because everything is about our soul. Everything. The only way a man can choose every time to follow the way of God is for him to have in his heart that God has saved him who was formerly an exile. God has brought near. That he has made him by adoption a son and a daughter. That the Holy Spirit abides in him through no abilities of his own, no righteousness of his own, but because of God's love. And therefore, one of the greatest of the virtues should come into play, gratitude. When we gaze upon the cross, we should have within our hearts this great desire welling up within us to be worthy of what God has done for us. This is what we should see when we see the cross. That this part of us that held us back from righteousness is dead. Because God slew it on the cross. But it can come back to life and slay us. And it will be our fault. So we must gaze at the cross and we must say, I want to be crucified like my God was. Not necessarily in a literal sense, but in the sense that I am going to crucify my rights to the cross. I'm going to crucify my thoughts to the cross, my priorities to the cross. I don't live, Christ lives in me. The saints understood this. They lived this. This is not a theological precept that can be written down in a book and recited and understood. This is a way of life. The only way to understand a way of life is to live it. Christianity is living according to the way Jesus Christ lived. His entire life. But also his sacrifice on the cross. How can we neglect so great a salvation, brothers and sisters? I ask myself that question every day. I hope you do too. To be honest, I don't know why I do some of the dumb things I do. Except that I know that I just have not become holy enough yet. I don't appreciate our Lord's sacrifice for me enough yet. And I will be bold. Neither do you. Because if you did, you would not sin. But since we sin, this is proof that we do not yet understand what Paul is saying. To be crucified with Christ. For us not to live, but for God, Jesus Christ, to live within us. We don't get it yet. So let us continue to struggle to get it. Let us continue to make exchanges. Perhaps it will help you. Sometimes practical things help people not to sin. I've had many people tell me, oh, I don't want to do that because I know I have to confess it. All right, if that works, that's okay. That's helpful. Perhaps this practical idea that in everything you do, you are making an exchange will help you not to sin. But it's not just in terms of if I do this, it's good for me, or if I do that, it's bad for me, or if I do this, God will judge me. That's really not the perfect life. The perfect life is that we gaze upon the Lord and we desire to imitate Him in all things. Not because to not imitate Him is death, and not because to imitate Him is life, but because He is good and He is holy, and we are attracted to what is good and is holy. So the perfect man does only because it is good. But in the beginning, we do what is good because we know we receive a reward. And we try to not do what is bad because we know we could be punished. That's a good beginning. But the end should be the fullness of the stature of Christ. To do what is good because it is good. Because the person that we were has died on that cross. So that we can become the person we should be, which is in all things like Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. That is the good news. That we can become this. But this is not for everyone, unfortunately. Many people have heard this gospel, but have not followed it. Because it takes great effort and honesty and integrity to follow such a gospel. Let us be among those who follow it. Let us every day decide we're going to make an exchange of the bad for the good, of evil for righteousness, of our desires and our thoughts for God's desires and God's thoughts. That's where righteousness begins, by wanting to be righteous, by setting priorities to be righteous. And then God will help us to become righteous. We already know that we have had our passions crucified on the cross. That is the thing within us that keeps us with our passions, forces us to have passions. We're no longer forced. We're no longer under a taskmaster. So when we sin, it is because of our own weaknesses, not because of compulsion. Jesus Christ gives us the ability to be completely without sin. This is really an amazing, outlandish statement that a man can live and not sin. And yet it is possible because of the cross. It has been attained in this world, but only after great effort. And only after a man making sure that everything he does is in exchange. So may God help us to crucify ourselves daily to this cross and to understand that we are alive because of the cross. Yet not us, but Jesus Christ who lives within us. Let us make ourselves worthy of this calling. Amen.